Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. Attention. Attention, this is an emergency broadcast signal letting you know that we are changing the order of How Did This Get Made. There was a film that came on Sci-Fi Channel last week that was so important that we disrupt our regularly scheduled programming to present to you a very special How Did This Get Made about Sharknado. If you don't know what I'm talking about, take a listen to the trailer.
It's a storm. That's what's driven them all up north.
I've never seen so many up north so bold.
It's barely even raining.
It's flooding here. And not the plumbing, the ocean. You need to go home.
I'm not going anywhere.
Storm's coming and it's coming fast. I just can't sit back and watch this.
Tornado's heading towards the airport. We need to destroy it before it gets to them.
You can't just wait here and wait sharks to rain down on us. We're gonna throw bombs into the tornadoes.
It's too dangerous. Too many of them. We're gonna need a bigger chopper.
Claudia, move!
It's time to leave Kansas, mate.
Oh man, this is pretty great. So if you want to watch Sharknado, it's going to be on this Thursday. You can pause the podcast right now at 7 p.m. on Sci-Fi Channel. Or if you've seen it, go ahead and listen. If you haven't seen it, look, the choice is yours. Do what you want. I can't tell you how to live your life. But now, on with the show. Maybe the most important film about climate change since An Inconvenient Truth. We saw Sharknado, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to a very special episode of How Did This Get Made? We are breaking our running order because there was an attack. A Sharknado attack hit Twitter, hit the internet, hit the Sci-Fi Channel. We needed to regroup and talk about it. I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
What is happening? This movie is amazing.
And June Diane. How are you, June Diane Raphael?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Good. I was very nervous about this interaction. People, we have this weird thing. I have to... there you go.
Now you're going to have to speak to it.
Yes. Well, people say that we introduce each other weirdly.
For a married couple.
For a married couple. But it's like, you're not with us 90% of the time. If you didn't know that, then that's a fine
And there's like no other time you'd be introducing me like that. I don't know
how are you, June? Yeah.
I will say this, because a lot of people don't know this part of it, is that when you guys are speaking a little bit remotely to each other in those moments, you guys are fondling each other's genitals.
Oh, for sure.
So there is intimacy there.
It's always a physical intimacy. Joining us is a return guest, star creator of Comedy Bang Bang, which is currently in its second season on the IFC channel. You can see it every Friday night at 10 p.m. and 9 central. Please welcome Scott Aukerman.
Hello, people of Earth. That's my catchphrase.
Yeah,
Wait a second.
That's not your catchphrase.
Oh, that's right. It's What's Up Hot Dog. Hello, everyone.
Well, I'm so excited that we can convene a very special How Did This Get Made?
Like calls went out last night.
It was
calls went out.
Which, by the way, we were supposed to do a different movie. Can we talk about that?
We were supposed to do
Alex Shitty,
Cross.
Shitty movie.
So sorry,
all by my
Scott.
Lonesome, apparently.
We were supposed to watch the Tyler Perry detective film, Alex Cross, and we weren't supposed to air this when it was supposed to be aired, but...
Was it terrible?
It's more boring than anything else.
Would it not have been fun?
I would do the last Tyler Perry movie. Yeah, yeah. I would do that one.
I'm dying to see it. What is it called?
Temptation. Where the twist is.
Do that one instead. Okay, in my opinion.
I was just in the theaters with Kim Kardashian. And
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Scott, you get MVP because you watched
Most
Alex Cross.
Thank you so much.
You get Most Valuable Podcaster. Because you watched two movies. But last night, Sharknado was on.
I'm going to slip in jokes about Alex Cross during this whole show.
I think
show,
it's a nice Easter an Easter egg. Last night, Sharknado hit Sci-Fi Channel. The Twitter sphere went nuts for it. And if you have not seen it yet, it is airing again this Thursday, which I believe is the 18th, on Sci-Fi Channel. And you can watch it again. They're not re-airing it until that Thursday.
It is airing constantly on... the internet.
Yes. You can find millions of GIFs, yeah. Memes.
I saw stuff. Because this happened to me, which I was very bummed about. For some reason, my DVR rather, only recorded 40 minutes of it.
Oh, no.
What?
The last 40 minutes, thank God.
That's all right. Well, thank God.
So then I went online and I BitTorrented it that I could watch the beginning.
Okay. And Paul, you called the Audible after it was already on.
In the East Coast.
Which I get the East Coast.
Okay.
So I had to then do the West Coast feed, which was on an hour later, and so I had to stay up a really long time.
Oh, God,
had to stay
up for
a
baby.
I'm so sorry. I'm tired.
Again, MVP, Most Valuable Podcast.
Because I know you were doing a morning show this morning.
I did, Kevin and Bean, this morning. It's 6
o'clock. Please stop plugging other radio.
Guys, listen to Kevin and Bean.
Don't plug terrestrial radio.
Where can we hear your appearance on Kevin and Bean?
Well, it's podcast itself.
Oh, wow. All right, let's talk about this movie, because I want to just lay down something first and foremost. A lot of people go like, well, no, they were setting out to make a bad movie, and I disagree with that wholeheartedly, only because this went to Cannes. This was sold at Cannes.
What?
Not in competition, at the Cannes marketplace.
There, you go there, you buy your Sharknados, Helen Hunt movies.
Yeah.
Bling Ring.
But I do believe, that...
Your Helen Hunt movies?
Your Helen Hunt movies.
Fucking Cannes, rotten with Helen Hunt movies.
I guess I'll buy this Helen Hunt movie, movie.
Does she show her tits in it? Okay, great. I'll buy that Helen Hunt movie and Sharknado.
Look, I'll get Sharknado only if the dad from Home Alone is in it. And I can pretend like it's actually Kevin McAllister's dad just later on in life.
Oh, maybe Ian Ziering is Kevin McAllister all grown up.
Holy shit!
Change his name to Finn. All right, this movie... I want to talk about the
I want to put quotes around movie.
Yeah. Because here's my thought. Like, when people go, well, they were trying to have fun with it. I don't think so, because they didn't do anything far enough to go... It felt more to me like Birdemic and The Room than something that was incredibly self-aware. There are moments that were crazy.
I think, maybe. But it's not as earnest as those movies. There is a degree of camp to it. Just like this stuff happens that are so funny.
Yes.
I think the humor in the movie... They thought it was going
super
to be intentionally funny.
Funny,
but it is laughably funny.
Oh, okay.
See what
exactly,
I'm saying?
That's exactly
there are certain
what
jokes
saying.
In there that they're like, oh, man, this is going to be comic relief that it just they lay there.
Well, and then to speak to this whole premise is that the opening scene of this movie, which correlates to nothing.
Zero.
I want to know, was anyone paying attention? Does it make sense to you?
Here's what's so funny about that scene. The Asian businessman is having a meeting on this boat. I mean, it looks like they're in the middle. They're off of the Gulf of Mexico. They're in the middle of nowhere. And it's like played as like a business meeting, like he just stopped by.
Yeah.
He's in a suit.
He's in a suit in the galley of a ship.
Did he take a rowboat into the ship?
Industrial? Yeah. Like, where did he come from?
And the boat is like a fishing trawler. It does not, it's not like a grand, eloquent boat or anything.
It's not a yacht.
It's like Deadliest Catch level boat.
Yes, he didn't like land a chopper on it or anything like that.
There'd be no way.
First of all,
he must have been on this boat for days.
Yes.
And then in that, yeah, in that suit with a briefcase
waiting
or whatever.
Waiting for this meeting.
Waiting for a meeting.
In the waiting room.
He's like the ship captain.
With a cup of coffee.
The ship Can I get you anything?
The ship captain is the most passive-aggressive businessman. He's like, well, he'll take a meeting with you, but you have to go out to sea for about 2-3 weeks.
It's a lot like meeting with Lorne Michaels.
That's what I was going to say. He's the Lorne Michaels of boat captains.
Was the guy he was having the meeting with, you guys noticed he was completely dubbed the entire time.
Oh, I didn't notice
Yes,
that.
I did notice
I was
that.
Barely paying attention.
I actually have to say I had a lot of trouble with the sound in this movie.
Oh,
I
really?
I couldn't hear. Well, okay, so obviously
sound
yeah.
in the
people
lighting
were ADR'd,
were,
but people yeah. were ADR'd. But could you hear dialogue? Like, the levels seemed so
well,
low.
The business, the noise of the event
of Sharknado
yeah. were so loud, like the chomping and the
chomping was like chomp 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 chomp.
But then the actual words were so low.
So low. I agree. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, this movie clearly was not color corrected, sound mixed, or anything.
The color correction is bonkers. I mean, it's like it's raining in some angles, and then it cuts to the other angle. It's
a
beautiful
sunny day.
Sunny day. No effort made.
I do believe that majority of this movie was shot in a car wash. Whenever they're in a scene, it is just a white world, and then you can't see anything.
Hey, Ian Ziering, do you want to hang out at this car wash for one day?
We rented this car wash. We need to get through 40 pages of dialogue. Let's do it.
I believe his name is Ian Ziering.
So sorry. Oh, that's right. It is.
It is.
Can we just mention though that this who this movie is written by?
Please do.
Thunder Levin.
No.
Thunder
Levin, whose piece of IMDb trivia, the only piece of trivia about him is.
Thunder is his real name.
Thunder is his real name.
Thunder Levin. Yes.
Well, he directed a movie called Mutant Vampire Zombies from the Hood. He wrote a movie called Atlantic Rim, which I guess is
That's
kind of
genius.
Eating off Pacific
okay,
Rim.
Okay, so when I was at K-Rock, which
cut it out.
They had a whole bunch of DVDs made by this same company that I guess the director was there the day before.
Asylum is this company, and they make a movie like Transmorphers, right?
Yeah, what they do is they make these DVDs and put them in stores so that you will get confused and think that you are buying Transformers, but what you're really buying is Transmorphers.
And I read another thing about this.
Wow.
Is it's specifically geared towards the DVR audience because you'll be like, oh, I want to see Transformers, and you get a TRAN, and you say, like, oh, Transmorphers pops up, and you just order it. And so even if you mistakenly order it,
that's amazing.
They make money.
Sure.
That's they very also, smart.
Yeah.
I tip my hat to that.
That's
by the way, thank you so much for wearing your hat today.
Oh, I always wear it.
By the way, that's another thing people don't know about the podcast. June always wears like
a 10-gallon hat.
Or sometimes it's those hats that people wear to British weddings, like very ornate hats.
It's not comfortable.
I do want to talk about some of the Asylum movies. There's American Warships, which came out last summer.
Battleship.
And they also released AE Apocalypse Earth. Which is, I think, AI or like...
what is that? Yeah. Okay. No, it's After Earth.
Oh, or Oblivion?
Or Oblivion.
Something like that,
And that also stars Richard Grieco.
Awesome.
Atlantic Rim, which is coming out, of
course. Pacific Rim, yeah.
And then also directed something that seems like it's supposed to be a Fast and the Furious thing called 200 Miles an Hour.
Ooh, that's pretty fast. Yeah. You have to agree about that. I mean,
an amateur racer gets involved in illegal street racing after the death of his brother.
Did you say in legal street racing?
Oh, illegal. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That would be.
That's not a very good movie.
Street racing is legal.
In a world where street racing is legal, everything
they
else
just
exactly
wanted
the
to
same.
Drive the speed limit.
So the opening of this movie on the boat with this meeting, I did love this fact that when they are, I don't even first of all understand. What this meeting was about. They were killing sharks, right?
I thought what it was they were on a boat that had a whole bunch of... they'd captured a whole bunch of sharks.
A pod of 20,000 sharks.
Wait, all the sharks were just on that boat?
That's what I thought it was supposed to be.
I thought he had them, like, where he was. I don't think they were on the boat.
That's what I thought. What I thought they were doing was they captured all the sharks, which then a tornado happens, and because that boat happens to be where it is, the sharks get lifted up into the tornado.
That's interesting.
That's what I thought it was.
That's now, what happened.
I don't think that's what it is, though.
But why was that guy, when the first time you see him, the Asian gentleman, he drank, like, an egg. Like, was he eating, like a shark drink or something? Because passed like a bowl to him.
I don't know.
I didn't notice that.
And he drank it and he goes, it's good, not great. And then he's like, I'm going to only give you like $100,000.
Were the sharks for food?
I don't
for
know.
For shark fin soup, maybe?
Something like that. That's what I thought. Like, it was some sort
because
of
because it was also all different kinds of sharks.
Yeah. It was hammerhead.
It was as if
tiger sharks.
All the sharks in the world were at a meeting together in one part of the ocean.
They were waiting in that waiting room.
That's why this tornado was really confusing, because you could argue that if the tornado happened there, it would be that one type of shark that's indigenous to that.
Right.
Body of
but it was
water,
all the types
it was
of sharks.
All sharks.
Well, yeah. You could also argue that when sharks are sucked out of the water via tornado, they're not breathing. They can't breathe anymore, and they would be dead.
These sharks live for days in a tornado without water.
But
these,
hold on,
wait,
isn't a tornado made of water?
No.
Like, doesn't it have precipitation?
Not that much. It's not like they're not like in a fish tank of water.
They get oxygen from water.
Yeah, from what I know of tornadoes, they're wind essentially.
Yes.
That's picking.
And what do you know of tornadoes?
Oh, I'm about to tell you.
June was an amateur storm chaser. Go ahead, tell him.
From what
character,
I know,
Helen Hunt was based on June.
From what I know about tornadoes.
And I'm not saying I know a lot or enough, but from what I know of tornadoes, wind starts to sort of pick up dirt and debris, and it kind of collapses.
You know nothing about tornadoes.
No, it forms like a cyclone
yeah. that starts to move.
Oh, okay.
Wait, a tornado is like a cyclone?
I wish everybody had
a
visual
a cyclone in the
of
air.
What's happening.
I will say this.
Hand movement.
June is kind of right.
June is kind of right. Oh, go ahead. Well,
it would have made sense if the sharks got wrapped up in a cyclone, because a cyclone's a tornado in
June,
water.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
From what I know of cyclones.
But
shark clone doesn't sound quite as good.
Shark clone would have been... It's a shark.
June, you're kind of wrong and kind of right. A tornado is a violently rotating column of air...
a lone shark clone?
...that is in contact with both the surface of the earth and, in rare cases, the base of a cumulus cloud. They're often referred to as cyclones.
I thought a cyclone happened in water.
It says a cyclone is a low-pressure circulation. I mean, I'm just telling you what they say.
But I mean, like, I would argue just from what's happened just here. I know you're reading off the internet, but whatever. But it sounds like June knows more.
I think that June should get on this.
And I'm saying I don't know everything, but I may know more than that.
All I know is during the movie, someone said, "This is impossible." And Ian Ziering said, "No, it's not. This is very possible." And from that moment, I was on board.
Well, here's another thing that I will say about this movie, and it's and that's the thing about the laziness. Like, at least in Birdemic, there's like a 2-minute scene where some guy clunkily explains. Well, the birds are revolting because of this. It's bad science. But in this, there is no explanation besides simply that line.
Yes, and here's the other weird thing about the sharks. When the sharks hit land out of the tornado, I would think they'd immediately want to find water.
No, they would have.
Like,
they
would
be
flapping
around dying. Because
dying
they're drowning in air, which is what happens when you put a fish. Instead,
any human being would get
sucked up. They are chomping their fucking mouths because they're hungry, apparently. They fly repeatedly. Sharks fly out of the air and lock onto someone's limbs. It's like they're flying through the air going chompa, 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 chompa until they just hit something fleshy.
And by the way, the land shark in the old Saturday Night Live sketches with Chevy Chase look more realistic than the sharks
for
in this
sure.
movie. These sharks look like they're catapulted like Raggedy Ann dolls. It's like through a window. And when they come
oh my God, when the shark blows through the window of the restaurant, I was laughing hard.
The effects are bad.
The effects are next level bad. Yeah, they are on the level of Birdemic. I want to just go back to the boat scene for just one second, because now the fact that there were 20,000 sharks there, I'm piecing it together. But I love that when the Asian man hands over the money to the Lorne Michaels boat captain, it's in a tackle box, but yet there's some tackle in there still. Yeah, like,
what?
There are like lures.
I didn't notice that.
There are lures in the tackle box. Like, it's like, well,
hey,
you know.
Win in Rome.
I just thought that was so. Like,
and the captain
and
was like,
he might
we're
be
gonna,
able to use these.
We're going to cut your sketch.
Hey, he'll put a little something on top for him.
And it was so like Jay was placed, because it wasn't like, oh, they put money on top of the lures. It was like, they put the money and it's like, it doesn't look right. Let's put some lures in there, too.
Well, why does he camouflage?
Maybe he just borrowed the tackle box so it would be being used. Okay, that makes sense. So we'll put some lures in there.
And then all of a sudden, the wind picks up.
They just start shooting at each other for no reason.
Well, that's the other thing. Why are they shooting?
There was never any motivation for that. Just all of a sudden, like a Sharknado star, which, by the way, when I first saw this title, I thought it was Sharknado for a long time. I was like trying to figure out what is Sharknado? Why is everyone talking about Sharknado? But yeah, the Asian businessman runs out, starts immediately firing at this guy for no reason.
No reason at all. And then that's a losing battle to run around the boat shooting a gun. Like, there's no escape. Like, I felt like the Asian guy was trying
trying to escape. Like, he was trying to be like, I'm out of here. But it's like, well, you're on a boat in the middle of the Mexican waters.
The Lonely Island Special.
So anyway, that scene goes away, and we are to never think of it again.
Nope, never.
Because it makes
But it basically establishes for us that there's a lot of sharks in this location, and a tornado comes by and sucks them all up into itself.
In
right?
which, yes, we I meet our...
So, that's yeah. the establishment sure. of Sharknado. But then the question is, there are three Sharknados.
Yeah, because here's the
that's
other here's
true.
The other there thing. There are three. I don't think that the beginning thing necessarily relates to the rest of the movie because Ooh. They then have someone talking on TV, which, by the way, what is her name?
Johnny?
Johnny with an I. She keeps mentioning that. What is that about?
Johnny with an I.
Because I think it was it Johnny Blaze was her name?
That was such a weird specific, but okay.
Is that
Did you
based,
feel bad when she got killed?
Is that,
I did, but like I felt like that was... There were some
Is it based on Johnny movie? Mountain, and then they cast a woman, and so she felt like she had to
Who's
say
Johnny, Mountain?
The weatherman here in,
oh, I don't know.
On ABC? Anyway, that's like a local reference, but I feel like they wrote it in the script like a Johnny Mountain, like Johnny Blaze.
But it was odd that it was an odd thing because if you were a fan of this newscast, which you probably are if you're watching it, you wouldn't need her to introduce herself with an I every time, like, unless
but
there's two Johnnies
like
at the
thing.
That was her catchphrase or whatever.
But anyway, back to the point. She starts talking about how there have been, and Ian Ziering, I think, starts talking about how there have been a lot of sharks
Attacks.
Collecting in the ocean recently. So it's not like these sharks are being shipped in by the Sharknado.
You
the
are
sharks
right.
are already there. So
really?
What does that beginning
Here's
have to do with
think.
Okay, so wait a second. So in the beginning,
You're
when
right,
Ian Ziering
Zach.
Is surfing and there's like a million sharks in the water... Is that just random, or
they
did a Sharknado drop them off?
No, I think sharks have been there, and then the Sharknado comes and lifts more sharks up. I don't know.
Why are there so many sharks?
There's a lot of sharks. That opening scene
in the when he's surfing with the girl.
Oh yeah. Oh well.
When he's surfing with the woman and he can't surf at all, it's like Gidget style surfing,
is,
like shot from below, like while he wiggles his arms, and he's
so
supposed
upsetting.
To be like a world champion surfer.
Well, he's taking a little bit of a break with his. I thought for the beginning, I kept on saying to June because the sound mix was so bad. I was like, does Ian Ziering have an accent? I thought he was also trying to do an Australian.
I couldn't
accent.
Tell if the guy was Australian for a long time until that line of dialogue about etiquette. I thought you were Australian, not British. Great line.
I also like when that girl's getting eaten in the water and Ian says to her, get out of the water!
Yeah.
But they're in the middle of the ocean. There's nowhere to go.
He's standing in like water up to his chest.
Yeah.
There are 12 million sharks, apparently.
Sure.
And he's screaming, sharks! Sharks! Get out of the water! And he's just watching as chaos ensues.
Yeah, he
like,
doesn't
chaos.
Go and he doesn't go anywhere.
He doesn't get on his surfboard. He doesn't get out of the water. He... is like just a sitting duck.
And I would also argue at that point, maybe the reason why he's a sitting duck is because the sharks are kind of this like lazy chompers. Like they kind of eat you, but they're not like, Vargh! They're just kind of like hump. Like that was eating that guy's leg, the Australian guy.
Yeah.
That Australian guy had that shark on his leg.
Oh my God.
For quite some time.
Yeah,
I feel like they had maybe 35 minutes of stuff, so they put in a lot.
Yeah.
Of time. One of the things, there was stuff that I was like, wait a second, is this scene like happening in real time? Like there was one thing, oh, let me find it.
Well, time is a crazy thing in this movie because we're supposed to understand that this shark attack, this massive shark attack at the beach happened, I guess, that morning, and then...
Where the people are, they're reacting in such a way where they're just really running in circles. I felt like that 20 extra...
But I would say it looks like in that first opening scene,
yes.
It looks like at least seven people died.
I know.
Right. Oh, no,
like
no.
Seven
at least,
or eight people died.
It was a giant shark attack at Santa Monica
but then
Pier.
Once we're at Finn's... And the
by the way, his
guy.
Name is Finn, by the way.
Yes.
We haven't
Finn.
Talked about that.
Oh, man, the name
is
going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Finn, Cam, Nova, great names all across
but
the board.
But this massive shark attack
Written
has
by
happened.
Thunder.
And
which is his real name.
The next scene, they're at the bar, and I think to myself, well, I guess we must be weeks later.
Yeah,
yeah because
weeks later.
The whole beach would be shut down.
Shut down.
Everything.
And his best buddy, the Australian,
had his leg in a shark's mouth, and he's just at the bar.
Everybody's hanging out. Like,
this should be like they went to the hospital. And I know how long it takes to take someone to the emergency room because I just took someone.
What happened? Is everything okay?
It was Paul Rust sliced his hand open at my house. This was like a month ago.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But the most blood I've ever seen.
Is his hand okay?
Yeah, it's great. I took him to the emergency room, and it was hours before anyone even looked at him.
Scott, right. Did you stab him?
He sliced it open himself, I swear.
Scott? Hey, Scott, can Paul Rust play the piano?
Did he ever before?
Were you mad at him? Were you mad at him, Scott?
So this would be, he would have come back to the bar at night, at the very least. So it should have been,
It's
even
basically,
that aside, though, people have died.
Yes.
A lot of people.
I would say whipping. Eight people died.
Have died, and the people that we are with at the Peach Pit, or wherever they are.
Fins.
The people that we're with.
Fins after dark.
Watched people die. Watched people get eaten by sharks,
and
right?
No one is reacting.
And they don't seem traumatized, shocked. They're like
whipping it.
They're
up.
Laughing and
on.
Goofing. And
oh my god, you know there was one.
It's
thing.
It's like any night at Finn's.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's not even a night.
That's a testament to Finn's, though. You have
that's
to agree.
True. Yeah,
Finn's is the place to hang out on the Santa Monica boardwalk.
well, not anymore.
Murder
not
scene.
Anymore. Oh my god. One of my favorite moments too is I felt like there was a lot of investors. In this movie, like people who invested in this movie is like, oh, and you have a part too, and your daughter will have a part. Like first shark attack is happening, they cut to a little girl like in a red dress, like with her hand to her head and just like looking out like four times.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's my daughter. I gave you $100,000 to make.
No, there's a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah,
there's a lot people who should not be acting at all, and not the people, the main stars of the movie.
No.
Oh no, and I think there's a lot of scenes in this movie that might have been like just like stock footage.
Yeah, no, there's
like
a lot.
When they're driving through
LA that is going through this tsunami, because that's really what it is, they're like showing pictures of Sharknami. They're showing like pictures of Haiti, it feels like.
Yeah.
That's not like Santa Monica.
Plus they're cutting in a lot of like Discovery Channel footage of sharks.
Yes.
Anytime there actually is footage of sharks, it's obviously bought. They never had a real shark.
They never.
They bought one giant shark fin.
yes. Oh, and they had that shark fin cam, which was going behind the shark.
Yeah, I guess. Just to wrap up this question, I do think that the shark attacks on the beach are unrelated to the Sharknado.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Yeah, I think they are.
I think logically that does make sense.
I don't think they have anything to do
with Sharknado. Wait, are you just saying that
they're
like every day? All right, so
because the Sharknado didn't truck in these sharks. It's not like a Sharknado happened and boom, deposited these sharks in the water and then they attacked. I think they're unrelated.
Especially because of the time cut. Because he comes back with a bandage, so it's hours later.
Yeah. No. This is what I think happened. Again, I'm not a scientist. I know a lot of you are writing in and asking me science questions, but here's what I think happened. The tornado picked up like say
20,000.
I'm gonna say 15,000 sharks. Okay.
Okay.
And then,
that's a little less than 20.
Okay. And then 5,000 were just displaced and pushed into the shores.
They were like the John the Baptist of the sharks.
So they arrived before.
They arrived
before.
They're
the warning signs.
So the other ones were being sucked up into the tornado. The other ones were being pushed ashore.
Interesting.
Because that was a shitload of sharks.
It was.
It was too many.
It was way too many sharks.
And it wasn't like
the reason why it's unclear is because Ian Ziering says that they've been having shark attacks.
I swear they said that.
They've been having
point.
Shark attacks.
Well, he's being very blasé about it. He's like, everybody just stay out of the water for a couple days. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, poor man's Kaylee Cuoco.
Who?
Poor man's Kaylee Cuoco. That's
who, the bartender?
The bartender.
Nova?
Yeah,
oh,
Nova.
Oh, Nova.
I liked her.
The female
I thought she
perspective.
Was good. I thought she was good.
She did a good
I
job.
I thought she was one of the best actors.
No.
She was probably one of the best.
What about the corpse of Tara Reid?
Tara Reid. Can I mention Tara Reid?
Yes.
And Kulop brought this up because she was watching with me. The first time you see Tara Reid, which, by the way, the act break on this movie, if you watch it on TV, it fades out. Like, basically, Ian Ziering sees a giant tidal wave approaching. Kind of looks at it strangely, picks up the phone, fade out.
Yes.
Like, slow fade out, then we go to commercial. Like, that's not a place for a fade out. If you're like amateur act breakers out
tidal
there.
Tidal wave? I gotta make a call.
Fade out. But when he calls Tara Reid on the phone, she is standing on a staircase, and behind her is her headshot.
A Tara Reid headshot.
A Tara Reid headshot framed on the wall.
And it comes back later on when they're, when her boyfriend is getting eaten by a shark and there's water in the house. During that sequence, there's another Tara Reid portrait that's in like a curio cabinet or something that you see in the background.
It's like Tara.
And then there's also a single portrait of him that floats around. It's strange.
You guys, we're going to hire you for this movie. We need you to bring a couple of headshots.
Bring some headshots, please.
I thought I got the movie.
If you've got them framed, that's even better.
And Tara Reid is like, bring them either way.
Tara Reid is like, oh, I've got a bunch of framed headshots. Yeah.
By the way, Tara Reid, I don't like her character in this. She's a pretty awful person. She doesn't, you know, we'll get
to the love story in this is so strange because in the beginning.
By the way, yeah, go ahead.
You thought that Ian
Ziering. It was supposed to be Ian Ziering with the Nova.
Yeah.
Well, she makes a pass at him.
But before that, I thought he was making a pass at the surfer.
Yeah, oh, he's totally into the surfer.
Yeah.
He's after the surfer girl. He watches her get eaten. Yeah. Nova makes a pass at him and he's like, get back to work. What are you doing?
He's
I'm your boss.
But that ball is up in the air for a long time about Nova liking him.
Yeah.
And he kind of gets back into her. He's like, seems that's like sexy it. When you shoot that gun.
Yeah.
You know? So
and
like
then,
their love story is, and then he saves, I mean, not to spoiler it, but he saves her at the end, which is what the hero of a movie does.
Except that it's basically like she's meant for his son now.
Yeah. It's
well, she
weird.
Was into her son. I mean, she was like, you know what? I'm not going to get it with Finn. Finn's still caught up on his beautiful wife, his beautiful
April. But I thought
April.
It was, this was going to be about like when he sets up in the beginning of the movie on that phone call that this woman, you know, he doesn't have his family anymore. He doesn't have anything, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think that the whole story is going to be about him getting back with his wife and kids and proving that he's the man of the family and not this
but
boyfriend.
But why was he a bad man of the family?
That's he's a good man that they don't like.
Exactly.
They established that when Tara Reid says, your problem is always that you're trying to save everyone else.
Yeah.
And so that
What's
goes
the
against,
problem with that?
That goes against the your idea of what the movie should be, which is he saves everyone else.
He needs to be the
proves
fuck up.
Right. No.
He needs to be the...
Scott?
What?
We didn't make this movie.
You motherfucker.
But don't you think... But don't you think...
We didn't do this.
don't you think she should have been the drunk? He should have been the John Hurd character.
Yes, exactly.
Who then came back.
Yes. Or he abandoned them for surfing, or he... Yes. Whatever it was.
Or he's the Clint Eastwood and Unforgiven who's been a really good guy, but then when sharks come...
Or he's the guy who's afraid of fucking sharks.
Yes.
And, no, that's,
and he doesn't like
Nova
to talk about it.
That's Nova in her Robert Shaw monologue.
Oh. Yeah. Which we have a very special treat today because, June, you're going
to
do the monologue.
I'd like to give it a try.
I love that.
I'm not in my full voice.
Do you need to warm up your instrument? What's going
a little
on?
Bit.
Enough qualifications. We'll just see how you do.
I do want to just... I want to talk about one thing that we... It's not really worth... I don't know. But the... Not only... This tornado works in such a way that things are destroyed and like collapse as if they're all rigged with bombs. But Ferris wheel at one point is unleashed from the Santa Monica Pier and it goes just rolling. And this is one of my favorite death by giant Ferris wheel ever. One guy gets crushed by a Ferris wheel. I thought that was... I almost feel like I would like to see a movie of just a runaway Ferris wheel.
That was a very
Ferris wheel NATO. That would be amazing.
Oh my God. It's a Ferris wheel with sharks
in all the
Here's the other weird thing we find out on that phone call, because Nova seems to know a lot about like his family situation.
No, she keeps...
She doesn't know anything because there's a line of dialogue I wrote down, which
is, you have an ex-wife and a daughter?
And a daughter. Yeah. So... But somebody says, and maybe it's Tara Reid, somebody says, you'll see the kids when you see them every month on the 20th.
Yes.
One day.
And that's
a raw deal.
What has he done? What has he done to get this kind of treatment?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, maybe isn't convenient for him or something? Like, what if it's a Sunday
like
on
Sunday?
It's
not like every other Saturday. It's on the 20th, wherever that
tomorrow is, the 20th. It's a Tuesday, no school, I guess, to go see my dad.
It also seems like the 20th is the day that he needs to give them money. Here's a scene from when he comes inside the house. It'll just give you an idea of where the acting is and what the dynamics are. Here we go.
Claudia! She doesn't want to talk to you. Claudia!
Dad, what are you doing here?
There's a big storm coming in. It's not safe here.
I'm not going anywhere with you. Just leave.
I didn't come here to argue with you. I came here to get you.
What is all the ruckus?
Oh my God.
Can you describe the ruckus?
Oh, Shepherd. Should have figured it was you.
Shepherd.
This guy's,
what are you doing?
He's a shepherd, by the way, because he led them all out.
Yeah. I'm going inland. I'm taking my family with me.
Finley, April is mine.
Excuse me?
My girlfriend is not your responsibility. And unless it's the 20th of the month, which it currently is not, neither is Claudia.
Khan, don't be rude.
What is happening?
He's just worried about us.
He's just worried.
Every time it rains in LA, everyone swears it's the storm of the century. And even if it is, Beverly Hills Emergency Services
are second to none. Even if it is, Beverly Hills Emergency Services are second to none. What kind of lackadaisical attitude is that?
She just said, sharks are falling in the streets.
Right. That is an amazing scene.
Sharks are falling in the streets, and he is nonplussed.
By the way, Tara Reid just saw Nova with a double-barrel shotgun shoot a shark that came flying out of a sewer grate.
Yeah.
And by the way, they never established how Nova is such a good shot.
She's amazing.
She's knocking down these sharks like she's a premier. She hates sharks. She hates
and
sharks.
She knew that she would have to shoot some someday.
One day she's going to have to shoot some land sharks.
Guys, Nova's story arc is so amazing. I mean, we'll get there, but when she and the son are in the helicopter, shit goes down that is so bananas. I was like jumping out of my seat. Can we talk about it, or what
yes,
are we doing?
Yeah, okay, please. Sure.
Okay, so
just set up where we were at in the movie.
So in the movie, he and his family have run away. They've gone to the airport, tiny flight school airport kind of zone
in Van Nuys.
In Van Nuys.
Next to an old age home.
Yes,
Because old people can't hear.
Yeah. Which was, that's not like Scott being clever. That is a line in the movie.
Although I have to say, I didn't even register that as really a joke or a plot point, because it seemed like there was a lot of discrepancies. Like, some people were aware of what was going on and terrified. Like, at the flight school, they're hiding in a closet.
Yeah.
then other people are
lounging in a pool.
Yes. The old age people are
How is that possible that people are in the pool? Doesn't everybody know? Like, people just got sucked out of a building next door.
Can I just say that maybe this movie helped me understand Katrina and why so many people were left behind?
Yeah.
Like, why?
Where was FEMA? Where was FEMA in this
movie? It happened too quickly.
Where was the government in this movie? What was happening?
The only time you see the government is when they're being, they're weaving in and out of traffic, and the cops, I guess, chase them for speeding?
This actually did happen, though. Like, there were sharks in New Orleans. Swimming in the streets.
What?
After yes, June.
Well, because there was water. Because there was water.
Please take a picture of June's face at this one moment. That was an amazing.
Did you not know that sharks were attacking people in New Orleans?
I'm very upset about that.
Yeah. So I mean, I feel like the Thunder saw that and was like, "I got a better idea."
Oh yeah,
come raining out of the sky.
But you could never get the idea of how much water was in the street.
Well, at the beach, a guy who's ankle deep in water is eaten by a shark.
Yeah. And the cars are not engulfed in water. They're probably up to the mid-level on the tire.
Yeah.
And there are, multiple sharks underneath all of how does a shark even fit underneath the car?
No way.
Yeah. Maybe
if it's a small, tiger shark or something. Come on, guys. A sand shark, maybe?
As Nova said, I like Nova's line about the tornado. She goes, it's like Old Faithful.
Someone says, we're going to need faith to get out of this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wait, so Jason, Old Faithful.
She had so many good lines. She had the movie is basically 80-yard lines over B-roll. That's what the entire
and
movie
over
is
extreme
at a certain point.
Close-ups because they can't film anything else.
Because they can't film anywhere else. They're like, we don't have the helicopter right now. We don't have the location. So we're just going to film an incredible close-up from below.
I was told that they chased rain around. They would hear it's raining in Pasadena. Let's move.
Wow.
And they would go find it, and then they would film there. Yeah.
Okay,
why go to all that trouble?
Yeah.
It did not.
No.
It was not additive.
Not at all.
So the flight school, they're hiding in the thing. The family is reunited. Somebody gets sucked out of the building. Holy shit! Shit's going crazy. Okay. So. They decide they break into a store next door where, great news, there's bomb making supplies. So very quickly, they all build bombs.
Oh, by the way, and one of them
People know how to build bombs.
And one of them is how to
fire them off.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
One of them is given, Tara Reid, I think, takes a hedge trimmer
as a
weapon.
Ian Ziering gives her a hedge trimmer.
He goes, can you use this? She goes, yeah, I can use it.
He goes, do you know how to use this? She goes,
I can use it.
She's mumbling throughout the end. By the way, she's sitting down most of the movie, too. When she's being attacked.
Way, not with everyone else.
No.
Half of her part was shot in her house.
Yeah, she's sitting down during attacks going, oh, no, no.
Did you guys notice one of my favorite scenes is when Tara Reid, they stop at a convenience store and they're kind of looking around at what's left. And Tara Reid just has this kind of like pensive moment where, or a reflective moment when she goes and just approaches a bunch of like toiletries and just stares at them. Like, and they're all turned, like they're all
these
like,
wipe my quickly, butt.
Yeah, like she's just like, huh, I'm gonna stare at these antiperspirants for just a couple minutes.
Stuff goes on for so long. Anyway, so they get in the son and the Chesty Nova get into the helicopter.
Oh, can we just play his line to set up what they're gonna do?
Please do.
Here is his line.
Instead of letting live sharks rain down on people, we're gonna get in that chopper and throw bombs into the tornadoes.
And that's the plan
that everybody is on board for.
Oh yeah, we definitely
nobody says let's get out of here. Nobody says you got a helicopter? Great, let's all get on it and we can leave.
or what if these bombs hit buildings?
Yeah, or people
by
below.
The way, forget about helicopters. They're out of flight school. Like, let's get on the planes and just fly out
and
of
get
here.
Out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Nope. So him and Chesty Nova get in the fucking helicopter, which never moves. He barely ever moves his hand. It's the worst.
Helicopter is a bad vehicle to take in the middle of a Sharknado, too.
So he then flies as close as possible to
the
Sharknado.
Well, it was a test helicopter, so it was probably...
New technology.
Okay, so he flies as close as possible to the Sharknado, and they start... Now, June, do you want to do your performance? Because this is where this scene happens.
I'd love to if it's time.
Okay, so they don't know each other.
Is this Ian Ziering's real son, by the way? I think I read that.
Oh, that would be really amazing.
I'm going to take a look right now.
So they don't know each other. They're just getting to know each other, and she's basically like... they're comparing scars. Right beforehand, they're comparing scars. She has a scarred up leg.
She doesn't want to talk about that.
And
scarred
we've seen
up leg.
That earlier.
Yep. And he's got a scarred up chest or something from something. And he tells her his story of how he got a scar. And then she says this.
I was raised by my... Okay, she's got like an East Coast accent, right?
You're going to do the accent, too.
I'm going to try, babe.
I love it.
Do you need to warm up time? Do you want me to talk to you in a Boston accent?
No, it's like it was like more like New York. I was raised by my grandparents. When I was 7, my grandpa took me fishing on one of those day charter deals with his friends.
That was a good one.
We wound up hitting into a reef and the boat went down. My grandfather took me and put me inside this little life raft for safety. Everyone else was just kind of swimming around trying to stay up, and suddenly all these sharks just started swarming. And then they tried to protect me, but by morning...
This is good. Stay with it.
By morning, they were all gone. So I...
Meaning the people, not the sharks.
I was confused about that. So I... This is the craziest line. So I floated out there for 2 days until those Coast Guard helicopters finally spotted me. I thought I was safe, but suddenly this shark just leapt up and bit my leg. 6 people went into the water, and 1 little girl came out. The sharks took the rest. They took my grandfather. That's why I really hate sharks.
Now, a more seasoned writer maybe wouldn't need to put that button on it.
Why I really hate sharks.
Yeah. Guys, she was floating around in the water for 2 days.
Yeah, a little girl. Amazing. And now she works on the ocean.
7. On the ocean, directly in the proximity of sharks. Yeah.
She was 7 years old and floating outside in the ocean for 2 days.
2 days.
Yeah. I want to see that movie. This is basically Robert Shaw's monologue about the USS Mississippi or whatever.
Because
it is
I think they directly quote
so many people went in and the sharks took the rest.
There's a lot of Jaws references.
Oh yeah, we're going to need a bigger helicopter.
And they
we're
kill
need a bigger helicopter.
Early in the movie, they kill one shark exactly the way that they killed Bruce in Jaws by putting a tank in its mouth and then shooting it.
And that was early on in this one. Yeah, they really did that quick.
So they're
almost as if like, hey, Jaws, you know, that's not good enough. We're going to do that first thing, and then you're going to
see
some
really good...
We're
going to get that out of the way, and then you'll see some really good shark kills. Yeah, she says, we're going to need a bigger helicopter, which is a Jaws quote. Oh, crap. Look at all those sharks, she says at one point while they're flying close to it. And when they fly close to the Sharknado, it's just teeming with live sharks chomping around like, what the fuck is going on? Then they start throwing bombs into the things, and there's three tornadoes, and the first one works, the second one works. The third one, it doesn't work, and a shark latches itself onto the helicopter, and she takes a knife and starts stabbing it, and she's like, yeah, I'm gonna, what did she say? I think I wrote it down. Like, she's basically like, they're flying, by the way, they're super close to the tornado, which always was freaking me out. I hope this, anyways, this is so stupid. Okay. She's stabbing the thing and killing it, and then loses her footing, falls out of the helicopter and into a shark's mouth.
Just perfectly.
Just like whomp.
Right in
like
it.
Totally.
Which was surprising to us.
Totally perfect. Like, fell out of a helicopter into the belly of the shark.
It was like a beautiful NBA shot.
Yeah, nothing but net.
Nothing but net. Nothing
but net. We were watching and we were like, she's dead? She can't be.
That's what I said.
I lost my mind at that point. Yeah. When she fell out and just fell for like 5 feet and then like totally perfectly into a shark. Like, because that's what I was obsessed with watching it, is like the same thing happens to the Australian guy. He's just sitting on his car and a shark falls onto him mouth first, just like chomp onto his leg.
I don't think that these sharks want to eat humans. I think that they're almost like their mouth is open because they're like, oh, fuck, I'm in a tornado. And then they just land on
maybe, red shirt kid who's just running and the shark falls on him and it just bites his arm off.
His arm off, and instantly. Then a different shark just happens to land on him, breaking him.
By the way, a lot of deaths in this shark tornado are because of just sharks falling and landing on him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're just being tossed, but there's some deaths, too, that like are weird. Like, sometimes people get their arm ripped off, but then like that ship captain gets eaten by the shark, but he's just kind
piece
of exfoliated.
By piece.
Yeah, he's just kind of, his face is like a little bit exfoliated or something. It's like,
it's like they're, each, because he's in the Sharknado.
Yeah.
It's like each pass of a shark, they just get the next layer of epidermis.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's right. Like, I know we're going to get to the final.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get to it. But before we do, can I just mention the worst line of dialogue?
Sure.
And the one that I mean they think is going to be really funny and campy, but is just terrible, is the Australian guy, the aforementioned Australian guy. Once Tara Reid's boyfriend dies and they're basically standing knee deep in bloody water, he looks down at the water and says, "Looks like that time of the month."
No,
That was my favorite line too. Because that was
that was
a totally 80-yard line in a bloody red room. By the way, they couldn't find the shark in the 8x12 room, which was kind of a gimme. Do you
mean the 8x12 room because there's 8x12s of Tara Reid up on the wall?
She makes her headshots.
All their 8x12s.
She makes her headshots slightly bigger so they stick out in a casting director's pile.
Yeah, you have to these days.
Oh, you're telling me.
The director here, I'm looking at his Twitter page, and he says that he tried to make this movie in the vein of early Peter Jackson.
The Feebles and stuff.
I guess early Peter Jackson, early Sam Raimi, and he talks a little bit about John Hurd, and I want to kind of get into John Hurd's death.
Oh yeah,
which is
we
one
haven't
of
even
the
talked about. He's the most famous guy in this whole thing.
Yes, clearly didn't want to be there for that much, and his character I thought died very early. And he writes here, the director, he says, he goes, he had to kill John Hurd because. Story-wise, it wasn't possible to keep him around for the rest of the movie.
They couldn't afford him for more than, like, one day.
But here's what's weird about, the final sort of the people who are left at the end. It's these heroes that we know, Ian Ziering, Nova.
Nova's technically not left at the end.
No.
Well, but I'm saying you're right. But a part of the team that's at this supply store or whatever, who's going to go to the final battle to the shark tornado, is like Nova, Ian Ziering, Tara Reid.
The daughter,
Claudia.
The son.
And then just two random guys from the flight school.
Yeah.
It's so strange that they don't just give us our final team at the end.
Right. I think they definitely wanted some deaths, but they couldn't kill off any of the people that we care so much about.
Well, they try.
The Australian guy
but
got killed.
Even to introduce the son that late in the movie.
It's a little bizarre. Is that
so
Ian Ziering's son?
Have we figured it out? It is not Ian Ziering's son, but I just had a thought here, which I'll tell you after this commercial break. All right, here is my thought.
We've been waiting
for
so long.
So long.
You guys had to sit through all those amazing commercials.
Oh, my God.
Here's my thought.
the bombs they put in the Sharknadoes would arguably kill a lot of people as well, right?
Because would they?
Oh, yeah.
Because wouldn't
it's an explosion.
And then it would probably where they was touching down on the ground.
Yeah.
What? No, but I mean, I'm sure they would kill people, but like, I mean...
Maybe it was worth it?
Yeah, I mean, all so those sharks are now... All those sharks then fell onto people, I'm sure.
Yeah, so they killed... They may have killed more people. Like, why? What's the harm?
Just let the Sharknado pass.
Exactly. Sharknado should have run out.
What are you talking about? The Sharknado is like scooping up people.
But it eventually ends. It eventually ends, right? All tornadoes end. They don't go on forever.
Well, there were three Sharknados in Los Angeles.
By the way, tornadoes die out?
Yeah, that's true. I think, just weather conditions change.
But June, but you know a little bit about tornadoes. How do they die?
June, can you tell us?
This is one of the things I don't know about
tornadoes. By the way, this leads me to believe that prologue had something to do with it. Wouldn't it be marine life NATO? Like, wouldn't it be every kind of fish and
scoop
kelp
up
and
everything? That's why it's
that's
so
why
weird
I think it's the beginning. Like, they had all those sharks there. The tornado originated there. Those sharks became the Sharknado.
But then how did it split into three? There's three Sharknadoes.
Oh, guys, this is actually very bad news for how tornadoes end. When it starts raining, it gets cold, and tornadoes end. But this movie then posits it's raining the entire time.
Yeah, it's raining.
Somebody needed to do more research. Thunder. I'm looking at you, Thunderlevin.
Oh my God! Could you
think
believe?
The writer's responsible.
Could you believe the destruction of Beverly Hills? I mean, all those great places,
Hotel Roosevelt,
Prada, and Family Mart. Everyone,
Man's Chinese Theater.
But Family Mart—that was in the middle of the Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
It was just like
first a shot of Rodeo Drive, and then it was a shot of Family Mart.
I don't even know what Family Mart is.
Well, speaking of random shots, April Richardson pointed this out on Instagram. They in the news footage, they have a lower third saying Hurricane,
David.
Right. Yeah. Hurricane David. Which, by the are hurricanes named male names?
No, they're always female.
I think they changed it now.
Oh, they changed it? Okay.
Oh, really?
So,
I think so. Because there was like, wasn't there like an Ivan a couple of years ago?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But they misspell hurricane.
What?
No.
It's hurricane in it. That's how that's how people are asleep
hurricane.
At the switch in
Holy
this movie.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So John Hurt dies. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it did start to feel, I think this wasn't fully explored, but I think maybe something was initially set up in that first scene about this Sharknado being about sharks, but also about like the greed of these people, and the money also got lifted up into there. Like there was something very sinister about the tornado.
Do you think people,
something
sinister about the tornado?
Yes, because it wasn't just picking up marine life
Don't you think the money should have fallen down on top of Ian Ziering at the end?
Wait,
that would have been great.
Can
that
I ask you
amazing.
A question? Do you think that
Happy
the
ending.
Tornado just wanted
Buy
the money?
A new bar.
Do you think the tornado
think
wanted
was...
to accumulate money in sharks to become
that's
powerful?
The tornado is the villain.
Yeah.
The tornado needs
the tornado
that money.
Wanted to be like the kingpin?
Wait a second. The ship captain worked for the tornado.
Oh, he was a tornado. That's why his whole voice was dubbed.
Yes.
He had a human coat on.
I love this.
And that's why when his skin all comes off, that's just him becoming the tornado.
Yes. And that's why he doesn't see a tornado. Oh, now it's making sense.
Now this movie makes sense.
By
the way, I found what she says when she's stabbing the shark that's clomped onto the helicopter rail. She goes, "Die already! Why don't you die already?"
I did
like when he rescued his daughter. When they're driving in the car, she pulls out her small, portable television, which is something that like I had when I was a child. When there were like Walkmans, like she should have an iPad or Galaxy Tab or something of the day, not an old TV with an antenna.
Don't you think that Thunder originally wrote the script for two older people? Like it felt very much so that she was almost the same age as her daughter Claudia.
Oh, well, we looked it up. Tara Reid's actually 37. And son was established as 22. So Ian Ziering and she had sex at 15, I guess, which I guess is why they had so many problems.
Right.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, when
there are babies having babies.
Yeah.
Because I came into this movie in the middle, and so I had no context for any. I came in at the flight school closet.
Oh, well, that's very late.
That's late.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
So I came in at that point, so I didn't know anybody's relationships. So the moment when the son called Tara Reid mom, I was like, whoa, 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 what is happening here? Is this for real? That blew my mind. And I felt like she just was a disaster.
Yeah. Well, I kept wondering, I kept looking at her saying, why she's worthless, why is she getting paid? How can they justify paying her a salary? And then at the very end, which the end is great, the very last scene where Ian Ziering,
this is great,
he jumps into the shark's mouth with a chainsaw.
A shark is flying through the air at his daughter.
He has enough time to push his daughter aside, turn on his chainsaw, jump directly into its mouth.
Yes, right.
And then gets completely swallowed by the shark, which everyone thinks he's dead.
By the way,
in midair. This all happens in midair.
Anything you want to say about this movie? That sequence,
nullified.
Yeah,
yeah.
Amazing.
Perfect filmmaking.
And what I think they should have actually done to make it just a little bit better is his daughter should have been deaf, because no one in this movie can hear. He's like only 5 feet away. He's like, get out of here!
He's always the one, and because he's doing hero stuff in the movie of going, move! Which, if you watch movies like looking for that, like the hero in a movie is always telling people to move.
Yeah.
Because they want to establish that he's more aware than anyone else,
and
that he thinks of other people more than himself.
I think John McClane yells move a lot.
Yeah, because he's always thinking of others. But anyway, so Ian Ziering jumps inside this shark's mouth, then bursts out of the side of it with this chainsaw. That's already enough. He's covered in gore.
Wait, that's the scene that I wrote, is this happening in real time? Because the length of time that the chainsaw is, you hear it in the shark first.
Yeah. it should just be boom, he's out.
And then it's not a sticks thick through. Membrane. And then it takes so long
for him to
cut
actually
through the shark skin.
Oh they boy, cut, this is rough.
They reverse on the family like six times back and forth.
Why didn't they, like, to me this is a perfect like moment that they did in Anaconda. I want to be inside that shark stomach. I want to see it in there.
They can't because that would ruin the surprise, which is he reaches back into the shark stomach, pulls out Nova, who was eaten by the exact same shark.
And why was that shark all of a sudden? Because that shark has been in the air, for a long time.
Yes.
You would think that at least the human body would bring it down a little bit, like an extra.
Ian Ziering is covered in gore. He's just saved the heroine of the movie. Tara Reid goes up to him, and first of all, it's Ian Ziering. Bad.
Right.
He's covered in gross
like
blood.
Like, he's covered in next level gore. Crazy, like, gloopy, gloppy blood gore.
She goes up to him, and with a look of distaste I have never seen before in my life, she gives him the tiniest, quickest peck on the mouth. And I said, there is why she is getting her paycheck. She is worse than a prostitute at this point.
Well, sure, her character does one of the worst lines in the whole movie, and I didn't write it down exactly, but I'll give you the gist of it, which is they're driving by a school bus full of children, and of course
By Cousin Oliver.
Oh, really? That's Cousin?
Yes, that's Cousin Oliver.
I just wrote down that he looks like a pedophile version of Penn Jillette.
so you mean he looks like Penn Jillette?
Wait a minute.
He's driving by a bus full of children. He's like, we gotta help those children. She's like, no!
Yeah.
You help us.
This is your problem.
Yeah.
You help people.
Like, this is a busload of children, people.
Yeah.
Come on.
I love the solution. I'm going to rappel down.
Yeah.
Great.
That whole sequence.
The crazy thing about being eaten by a shark in that sequence is, like, they don't chew at all. So if you're eaten, you just go...
Like, fully digested.
You just go right into
you
the stomach.
You go straight into the stomach.
But sometimes you get the lazy shark is like...
Chompa, chompa, chompa.
But not that, yeah.
It depends on if they... It depends. Sharks... Okay, here's the deal. Sharks chew you up.
Wait, are you a shark?
This is what I know about sharks.
How much...
Okay?
Comparatively,
I'm not a shark. I'm not a marine biologist. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, compared to how much June knows about tornadoes,
I probably know as much about sharks.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Right. So sharks, as I understand it, when somebody they're going to eat is should die, is bad or needs to die, they chomp a lot with their teeth.
Right.
But when they think, I just want this person in my tum tum and maybe I want to hang out with them later, they just go for the full throat swallow.
Right.
So you think that there's some sort of a thing where they're like, I'm going to digest this guy
slowly.
Like a different pocket, like that pocket that you put change in on
your
jeans.
Or like when a squirrel puts nuts in its cheek.
I found, I found when anyone is contemptuous of the situation, then that's a shark the will attack. Eat them. Yeah, they
because
will eat them.
Oh, by the so way, weird though. Ian Ziering could have, when that shark was like flying down at him out of the air, he could have literally just like walked 5 feet away and been so safe.
The shark would have hit the ground and died, or it would have chomped around a little bit.
Or it would have flapped around.
You think it
would have
might have chomped around a little bit?
I loved when they're in the I love when they're in when fucking Dum Dum and Chesty Nova are in the helicopter and they're all in the old age home and one of the old ladies goes, "Who is that up there?" And Ian Ziering goes,
son.
"That's my son." And she goes, "You must be very proud." And he goes, "Yeah. Yeah, I am."
Yeah. Good stuff.
I was like, what is this? Like, why would you advocate, like, yeah, my only son, fly a helicopter into a Sharknado.
Throwing bombs down at us.
Yeah.
With a terrible assholes. Idea. I want to point out
that. How about when the shark lands in the pool?
Yeah.
Oh. And his, the pool explodes?
By the way,
everyone's out of the pool.
But the first two people jump in the pool. Yeah. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
A shark lands in the pool and they get in.
They go into it.
Like, what?
They were freaking out.
But everyone's out and what does he decide to do? Everyone's safe. Let's light them on fire and destroy their pool.
Let's pour gasoline into the pool. Like one tank.
Haven't they lived through enough?
That's a huge cleaning bill. One tank. For the old folks.
He throws matches in and
by the way, sharks couldn't live in chlorinated water, by the way.
That shark is now not a problem.
Yeah,
it's
in a pool.
It's in a pool.
Well, no, I disagree because remember when they're in the house, they go, "There's a shark in the pool." They open the window and that shark flew out of the pool into the window.
I thought that was a different shark.
Oh. I thought so too. I thought that was a shark that was a part of.
I thought that was a shark. Just
by the way, when they have that fight in the house, their house literally crumbles like it was made out of like paper mache. It was like there was, even if it was a flood, bad flooding will not crumble a house.
They were bad house flippers.
So are we to understand that if you are eaten by a shark in that way, where you're just sort of swallowed whole and you land in the tummy, when you once you're in there, you just die of
starvation? Digestive acid. Also,
well, it's like Pinocchio when he was in the belly of that whale. You can do fun stuff in there. There's things
there's
to
good
be had.
Times to be had in
clearly,
there.
There's sure, enough room in that stomach for Ian Ziering, Nova, and that chainsaw, and the fact to get it on.
Yeah, he was able to start a chainsaw a shark's tum-tum with a woman there.
Why start it before he was swallowed? That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Because you're implying that he's going to cut the shit out of the shark, but instead he jumps in.
Seemed like he knew she was in there.
I thought he was going to stab her
with the chainsaw going in.
Because it was running.
Yes, it was running.
She should be totally decapitated.
He should be like, "Good news, I'm okay. Bad news,
I chopped
her. She was okay.
Nova wasn't
until I got in there."
It would be amazing if his character was a magician and he chopped her in half and then pulled her out of the body totally.
That'd be pretty awesome.
But I thought he was going to do like a Space Jam, like a Michael Jordan, to jump up and go through the shark.
Yes.
Like cut the shark in
and
half.
Out the shark's butthole.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted him to do.
He did do that. He did do that at the He did
Junior
do that.
Scientist.
From what I know,
he did that thing when the shark was flying out of the sky at the airfield where he just was like,
cut it in half.
By the way, sharks are, there's no. Physics.
There's no weight to them.
Yeah, they're like you can cut them in half. You could stab them with a pool cue. They can fly through windows.
Yeah,
they kind of hit you. They knock you over. There's like just the weight of the sharks are all over the place.
Oh yeah.
Here's a thought.
So this wasn't realistic?
I don't think so. I mean, again, I'm not a scientist. I don't know. In most, I would call this like a thriller movie, I guess, or horror movie. But in most movies like this. Sometimes, like the people who get killed are bad in some way, misbehaving in some way. Like Piranha, a movie that I was in, some people who get killed, they're asking for it.
That's why I say the people who are contemptuous of the situation, because you notice anyone who goes, "Shut up, this isn't happening," immediately will get eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
But you're right. So, but I guess I just wanted to see some more bad behavior before we saw some people get killed. Because that surfer didn't deserve to die.
Oh, but that boyfriend did. He was a real piece of shit.
Yeah, he's totally asking for it.
Because he said she's mine or whatever that was.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, and John Hurd loses his life saving a dog.
Yeah.
That was his save the cat moment, but it was a save the dog moment.
Do you think that April and Finn ended up together at the end?
after that passionate kiss.
When she pulls away from that kiss, when she pulls away from that kiss, she's got blood on her, and she looks like, you fucking dick.
And you know immediately they yelled cut, and it's like, all right, get in there. Wipe it off, Tara.
She looked so pissed. Could not show that she was so angry and was disgusted by what had just happened.
And what was it, the blood or Ayn's earring?
Do you think Tara Reid is upset that she's not, like, her downfall was not as harsh as Lindsay Lohan or Amanda Bynes? Like, I feel like she got out kind of early. Now she's a sort of like...
Well, it was like a regular person.
There was no social media when she melted down. There wasn't the same... Okay. Like, it wasn't the same kind of, like... Part of the way that Lindsay and... especially Amanda Bynes are melting down is, like, so present because of Twitter and all this other nonsense. And that just didn't exist. All you had was Tara Reid, like, drunk and her boob popping out.
Is that why you're not on Twitter?
Yeah. That's why I'm not on Twitter. So you can't talk... meant my downfall.
I like her scary boob.
Oh god,
remember that? Tara Reid is
If you don't know what we're talking about, by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, which is likely for a lot of people,
look up on Google Tara Reid and scary boob.
Tara Reid is up for the sequel. The sequel, people are talking about the sequel today.
Yeah.
And she said, I am down for a Sharknado sequel.
If the sequel came out tomorrow, people would see it.
Okay.
I don't know about the day after tomorrow.
This is what I'm going to say. People of sci-fi, put us in the sequel.
Yes.
Yes.
We will write it. We will
do the whole thing. We should do it like we all write five pages. This is what David
Lindelof. Like Exquisite Corpse?
Yes.
This is what we did with Rambo versus Rocky. I don't know if you ever read that.
Yes, I did. So David Lindelof posited this
last
night.
Look up Rambo versus Rocky, by the way.
We should get everybody together and write this movie.
Yes.
And they would make it, and it would be amazing.
Yes. We should make movies like this. I was watching this and I was like, fuck it. This movie would be so much better if it was all of us in it. You guys should do
How Did This Get Made Films, have like a straight direct-to-DVD like thing where you guys make movies
like a production
just like
company? By the way,
this
is the best idea we've ever had.
I kind of love it.
I really, really love it. what would the sequel? What would be the sequel?
Some other climate event?
Well, I mean, somebody talked to me last night and they said, what was it? It was, I'm trying to think of different animals to come out.
Well, I was saying on Twitter that a Boston Terrier NATO would just be the cutest thing.
Oh, that's a cute one. I thought of Moncano, which is a monkey volcano that shoots out monkeys that like to eat humans.
Oh, and they like to rip their dicks off.
Yeah.
How about a dino? How about a dino cano?
I like that.
A volcano breaks open for the first time, and dinosaurs start popping, shot out of it.
What
dinosaurs
about?
That have been living underground.
Oh, yeah, so they've been alive.
Dinosaurs are
immortal,
not extinct.
Dinosaurs.
They are not extinct.
What are they living off of?
What?
What are they living off of?
I don't know. Such a good question. Gold?
What about a batfoon? A bat typhoon.
Ooh, oh, I like that.
Yep. Yeah.
I will say that one thing that June said to me last night while watching this movie, and you turned to me so sincerely, and you just said, this movie is really dark.
It had a dark world view?
You know what it was? There were so many people being killed off in the first 5 minutes of the movie that it just was a real...
Like, you were upset by it.
Well, because there was no love between any of the characters in the movie.
Right.
There was no sort of like, oh, we want them to be back together. Or it was just... It posited a world that I don't want to live in.
Did everybody...
Sharknado or no?
Did everybody feel like... Everybody in the family hated the daughter.
Oh, yeah. She had no point.
She was.
And they didn't even wrap up her story.
No, they didn't do anything. No. Everybody gets a love interest but her. And that's her bitch.
She just gets
her
to
whole
bitch
thing.
About her dad in the grocery store.
That's her whole thing. She's like, you came to save Matt or whatever his name is. Like, she's just like a fucking.
She also had a weird.
Dummy.
But she had a weird
into
subplot.
That, though. I feel like he kind of created that monster because then he said to her, he's like, I came to get you first.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucked up. Your
daddy's
thing for
a little
dad
girl.
To say.
Yeah. Plus, there's a weird subplot where she's like, no, take this other freeway. This is the shortcut I use when I go with my friends to Hollywood. And he says, what are you doing in Hollywood?
That was sort of, they were definitely playing into that idea of like, wow, now that there's a disaster, we're really learning a lot of things about each other.
Yeah. I came to get you first, baby.
Oh, so man, creepy.
Pet this for daddy.
So you guys recommend this movie, clearly.
Oh, I mean, clearly.
If your mom gets eaten by a shark, it's just you and me.
Guys, we got a lot of things to tell you to do this week. If you have not seen Sharknado, it will re-air Thursday, July 18th at 7 p.m.
And Alex Cross, you can rent on iTunes like I did.
And we'll have a private conversation with you about that. But we're all going to be at Comic-Con. Well, a lot of us are going to be. Are you going to be at Comic-Con, Jason?
I don't think so.
All right, well, Comedy Bang Bang is going to be at Comic-Con Wednesday night?
Wednesday night. Jason, come on out.
All right, I'll be there. At the House of Blues, they're going to be
Blues,
there.
House of Blues, 8 p.m. Comic-Con show with special guests.
What night?
Wednesday night.
On Friday, NTSF is going to be having their panel, or our panel. That's me and June and a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, you created that show.
Yeah, exactly.
Take some ownership.
Yeah, we're going to have our panel on Friday in one of the halls over there. You can figure that out. And then on Saturday, Children's Hospital and NTSF is going to be together at Nerd HQ doing a big panel. I'll have a comic book signing at Boom on Saturday afternoon and an NTSF signing. Come out and meet all of us again on Saturday, I think 12 to 1 on that. So that's a lot of places to see.
You're going to shake a lot of sweaty hands.
And on Friday, please watch Comedy Bang Bang every Friday night.
Every Friday night.
Christmas.
And you have an amazing,
really amazing
people. Talk to me about, like, you have Pee Wee Herman came on your show.
Pee Wee Herman does all new Pee Wee bits on the show. We have Jason Mantzoukas.
How about you and I? Are we on it?
You were asked to be on it. You both are way too busy.
I was never asked.
Yes, you were.
What?
You were. I will tell you the part. Yes, you were.
I was never asked. I was only told
on hold. You definitely were.
Never.
You definitely were.
All right.
I'll tell you the part later because I don't want to embarrass the person who got
awkward.
But you definitely were asked.
Really?
You were busy. Yes.
Okay. Maybe it was went through my reps or something.
But yeah, great people.
Did you want to plug your reps right now?
I have great reps, guys. My reps take away a lot of
it. Sound like it.
I just watched the Jessica Alba episode today.
Oh, awesome.
That's a really good one.
One of the people that you were surprised that you got on the show, like that was good on the show.
Zoe Saldana and Jessica Alba, both, I couldn't believe they were on it. They were both kind of nervous about it, and they're both really, really funny.
That's amazing. You have an amazing, amazing lineup.
Now, is that the episode you wrote just to kiss pretty girls?
Well.
So definitely check out Comedy Bang Bang. Every Friday up until Christmas. Oh, and I forgot to tell you that Hell Baby is having its premiere screening also at Comic-Con. That is on July 25th. You can come check that out. Mm. There will be a naked old lady running around giving out free tickets. Her name is Mrs. Nussbaum. That's not a bit.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Thank you,
guys. Can she do that?
I've seen the... No, it's a costume.
It's a costume
with very saggy breasts.
Also, Girl Most Likely is coming out in theaters...
This Friday.
Yes.
This Friday, July 19th.
Oh my gosh, you're in that.
Which I am in with Kristen Wiig.
Guys, you need to fucking go and do stuff. We're around.
Get it together, guys. Guys, The Dictator is on Netflix.
Oh.
Unrated?
Are you still in it?
Unrated. And I've been told I've been cut out.
What? No.
The unrated version just cuts you
out.
Wait,
but Jason, I'm just getting an email from Netflix, but they say that now they've CGI'd you into Borat.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You play his wife.
I play his wife. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to this very special, important edition of How Did This Get Made? We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf's dead.
Hey, everyone. It's Jessica St. Clair.
And Lennon Parham.
Hey, assholes. It's me, John Gabris.
Lauren Lapkus here.
We just wanted to talk about one of our favorite podcasts to be on and to listen to, Improv for Humans.
I'm a huge Improv for Humans fan. I've done a number of episodes myself. A couple great memories. One of them was when I got to argue about whether bestiality was disgusting or not.
A lot of times it's you, me, and Mantzoukas and Besser, and it's really old school, and there's something about not being on stage in front of an audience that makes you even crazier than you would be.
If I can recommend an episode to check out or a favorite memory from the podcast, I would say listen to some of the 420 episodes, because those are the ones I like to re-listen to, because I truly don't remember what I said.
Another great episode I loved doing was the Dan Deacon episode. I love his music, and being able to sit like 1 foot away from him and watch him create amazing music was so cool.
That's what's cool is he gets people on for suggestions, yeah, often singers, songwriters.
Really great.
If you're a real fan of improv, even if you've never actually heard improv before, this is a great introduction. You can't get better improv comedians than who he has on his podcast.
Everyone needs to be listening to Improv for Humans. Come on!
New episodes every Thursday. Be sure to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. But I recommend Stitcher. They make me say that.